Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello there, and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the evening of the 9th of January, and it is the winter break for Celtic, so no match to review at this point, unfortunately. So we decided to mix it up and do a wee special episode. We asked for your questions over our social media platforms, and delighted to say we got quite a few responses over Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. If you want to be involved with stuff like this in the future, make sure you're following us. Just search for Four Times in a Podcast. And tonight it is just myself, I'm Darren, and I'm with Tony and Danny, so there's only three of us. So tonight, the listeners' questions, you'll be the fourth Tim, so you'll finally be a part of your favourite podcast. But aye, we'll just get into it, because there is quite a number of questions that have come in from quite a variety of different topics as well, so I'm sure we'll cover quite a lot of them. Right, first one, we maybe should have picked up on this last week, because I think it happened around about New Year when Harry Kewell left to become the Yokohama manager. And a lot of people, I think, sort of expected Scott Brown to possibly get that first team coach role. Didn't happen. It was Adam Sadler that was brought in, who worked with Brendan Rodgers previously at Leicester. So we got a question from Kat on Twitter. Danny, I'll bring you in here. So just sort of in relation to Scott Brown, she had asked, will Rooney rejoin us in some capacity? She thinks it would be great to see him involved. So, first of all, what's your thoughts on Scott Brown ever returning to Celtic, and what sort of capacity would you see that happening? And as I say, I think there was a lot of, I think it was more speculation in it and linking him with that first team coach role, but it wasn't to be at this point. Can you see that happening in the future?
Aye, I think Scott Brown, he's got to go away and prove himself first. I think prematurely Fleetwood and then they've since gone on and sacked Johnson, and I'm sure they'll sack Charlie Adam before the season's finished as well, so I don't think you can judge him. I was quite surprised they never got that job, but it's good that they've let Rodgers go pick his man, and Brendan's worked with that guy before, so it's well for the future that somebody that the manager knows, somebody the manager wanted, which was the case when we had to our backroom staff, so that was pleasantly surprised. But for Brown, and I think back at some point, I'm quite surprised they never at Queen's Park. I was quite surprised that he never ended up, there was an old job in the Championship that was up recently, but he never went there. So I'm quite surprised that he's no something on yet, but I'm sure he's been kind of popping up in the media recently that obviously there was a lot of him coming back to Celtic in that coaching capacity. Maybe, you know, he will, somebody moves out, but I think the time for Brendan was to go and get his own man, and that proved it. But for Brown, I think Brown will manage Celtic.
I don't really disagree. Personally, wasn't surprised that he didn't get that job. I think that the fact that he's been out and obviously been manager at Fleetwood and had a bit of coaching experience to Aberdeen as well, I think he'll wait and he'll get a job. Maybe it will be up in Scotland. I think you're right about the Queen's Park job, and I think he'll get linked with Inverness job as well before that. But I think a Scottish job will probably come up for him at one point. I agree with you. I'm happy that Brendan got somebody that he wanted to sort of quell the sort of, well, not the rumour, but what we've even stated as a trend of perhaps jobs for the boys and ex-players and that. So the fact that it's not somebody that's come in to replace Harry Hill, that sort of ilk, sort of pleases me. I think that I'm a bit like you. I think Scott Brown probably will be Celtic manager in the future if he does continue going that sort of managerial journey. I don't even know if necessarily coming to Celtic as a first-team coach would be sort of the right path to get there, because I always think of somebody like John Kennedy, who's obviously been at a club for a long, long time, and he's worked under so many managers, and every time we have a vacancy, everybody sort of wants to see him go and apply his own trade for a while elsewhere. And I don't think he would, the fact that Brown was first team coach and then got it off the back of a few, like 18 months or whatever it was at Fleetwood, I don't know if that would be the right way to go. I still think people would be bit hesitant in that, so I think it will be the right thing for him to hopefully go and get his med experience and develop as a coach and a manager. He's also a fantastic leader and captain for Celtic, and I think he's 100% going to be back at Celtic in some capacity, whether that is as manager or maybe he will come as a coach in the future, I don't know. But I'm pretty happy at this point that it wasn't him that was brought in. I think it would have just sort of stunk, possibly Brendan not having a final say, and when he brings somebody in for Leicester, that obviously sort of dispels that, because he's the one that's had the experience with him. But aye, thanks to Kat for that question. Tony, I'll bring you in. We've got Macola on Twitter, who says, do you think the fact that we haven't come flying out the traps with signings in January is a bad omen, as in have the board and staff been sitting playing with themselves and not identifying targets, or is this an overreaction? Well, how do you see it as we sit, as I said, 9th of January, as we recalled, no signings in. I think the only real transfer news was Yusuke Adeguchi leaving on a permanent deal this morning.
Yeah, I think it's been a poor first 9 days. I know there'll be people going, oh, you shouldn't panic, and there's still loads of days left of the window, but this is kind of stuff we heard in the summer. Now, I would say every Celtic fan probably thought for at least a year that we've needed a new goalkeeper. Why have we not signed one day one of the summer? And now, again, why have we not signed one day one of January? And I know people hit out with this shite and, oh, it's hard to get these deals over the line, it's a difficult window, and you just can't be your excuse every window. You say, oh, it's difficult, and you'll take what you're given, and it might be a heap of shite. I think it's quite clear what we need. We need probably another striker. We need a left back. We need a keeper. Maybe we need another winger. But I don't understand. What have they been doing from August? They must have identified quite a lot of players. They must have a list. There must be a player out there the manager's identified and went, I want. And surely after beating Rangers and getting a bit of positivity and then beating St Mirren, and you know, we looked as though we've turned the corner. Surely the first day of January, we should have announced a signing to show we're serious and we're going to back the manager, and all he goes on and on about, and he's right to do so, is quality. We need quality. We require quality, which is spot on. So I don't really understand. What's the excuse for nothing being done the first 9 days? Is it going to be a case of been working really hard in the background? Because that's 9 days that somebody could be integrating at the club, could be speaking to fellow players if they're not training, could be getting words of advice for the manager, could already be starting to kind of get in with kind of Brendan's way of thinking. I just see it as a total waste. I don't really know what the recruitment team do or what they are doing. But I think people are justified to say that it's all good and well. We beat Rangers, beat St Mirren. We're currently 8 cleared, although they get 2 in hand. To say it's really no good enough that we've no come flying at the traps. I thought we should have. And I think if somebody's been a bit difficult over maybe an extra couple of 100,000, pay that money. Pay it. Pay them the extra few 100,000. You brag constantly about the bank balance of 70 million. Pay the extra money, get the quality in, and then your bank balance is going to go up another 50 million when you get to the the Champions League if you win the league. So it's been frustrating, but I think if you listen back to previous podcasts, I think we kind of predicted that we didn't think this would be a great window because we've got absolutely zero faith in the board / recruitment team.
Aye, it was sort of a common question that came up. We obviously had you on Instagram asking similar. We had McVeigh 1979 and AMC 67 saying what's keeping the signings and what are the board doing, no signings and not business. Of anyone leaving, I think he's all right. I think it's, yeah, you're right to be questioning it. Like, they would probably hide behind the fact saying it's hard to identify quality, but it's more than that. This is as if, like, we are not looking for them to start the search on the 1st of January. This search should have been going on for months. Like, it's clearly been evident if you look at the signings that have come in, apart from Lewis Palmer, most of them have barely featured, and you've had the manager out complaining about the lack of quality, and Callum McGregor was out saying we need more quality as well. If you've got your manager and your captain out in public stating that the squad needs more quality, then I'm not saying we should have had seven signings ready going at the start of January, but I think we should have a lot more on the go at the moment like that. Game against Bucky's about 10, 11 days away now by the time this comes out. And the fact of the matter is that we should have our signings ready to go. I think the players will probably be on a week off at the moment. I've seen a lot of them on their Instagram seem to be enjoying a wee break. But next week they'll probably be back in with their winter training camp, and like the new signings should be there to greet them and be ready to go, because it's going to be a hectic second half of the season. And it's not even just for this season. We are looking at players that we want to bring in who not only do we want them to make an impact in the league, we want them to hit the ground running and have us challenging in the Champions League. And you're just going to face the same situation you had this season where you say, you know what, these new signings were brought in, they've had five or six games in the Champions League, they'll benefit from that experience. Time we go to the Champions League next year, you might be missing a Matt O'Reilly or a Cameron Carter-Vickers or a Bada. Like, these are players that the way your trading model is, you're likely going to lose a few big players, and every year you do that, you're sort of hamstringing yourself. And I think the main one is sort of the goalkeeper and left back seem to be the two that a lot of the support seem to be hung up on that need addressed. And I think the keeper one, Joe Hart's out of contract in the summer, I'm pretty sure, and I'd be very surprised if his contract was extended. But the fact is, you're probably then going to be relying on a new keeper coming in and hitting the ground running. And we tried that a few years ago when we brought in Barkas, so we should be bringing his replacement in already. And because, like, if you read the reports, I think there was news today that a deal for Seagrass to go to a club in Austria fell through, and you know, our keepers sort of like Scott Bain and no harm to them, but they're not going to be Celtic number one, or they shouldn't be going forward. But it's one that we really need to, in my opinion, address urgently. And as I say, like, these players are probably going to be back in training on Monday or Tuesday, and they really should have new signings ready to meet them. And as I say, have us heading into the second half of the season stronger. And it's not just for like these project signings that perhaps we brought in the summer that you hoped one or two are maybe going to be wee diamonds. Like, it's players that you want to come in and three or four of them come in and you just say they're starters now. That's just the way it is. Like, they're better than what we've got. And as Tony said, like, we've got the money in the bank. If it does cost an extra million or two, then just pay it. Like, you're speculating to accumulate. Like, next season's Champions League's like the most lucrative ever because of the expanded format, and like you're going to have an extra home game in the Champions League, so that's another 60,000 sale that they're guaranteed. So we should be spending the money now. But aye, next up, who will we go to? We'll go to, there's a few here. I'll go for lefty Celtic man. He's the first one I can see with, but I know a few other people did ask. Manny, there's a lot of talk. Even Fabrizio Romano was tweeting about it last night, saying that Rocco Vatta looks like he's going to be heading to Italy. What's your view on this Vatta situation? Do you think it's a mistake on Celtic's part, or were they sort of right to not freeze him out but leave him in the B team after it sort of became apparent that he wasn't going to commit his future to Celtic? What's your thoughts on the Rocco Vatta situation?
I think obviously they're going to sell him in this window or let him go in January. If no, that shocked by it. I think that, to us before, we were young players where we don't really bring enough through. And Kimo, I think he made his debut the night me and Tony were at Easter Road. I think you, Darren, you were there as well with Andy. And he didn't, I mean, it was 4-0 when he came on. He was kind of unlucky, but he didn't really look amazing. I didn't think any other time I've seen him, I didn't think he was good either. Not great, when I say he was bad, but I didn't think he was great. So he's not really made a difference. obviously been frozen out for a reason that he's probably thinking about leaving, so they probably should have just sold him instead of carrying it on into this window and potentially the summer. So shame, because you always like to see Mary Erain come through, but it looks like his future's going to be elsewhere.
Definitely, and it does look like Celtic will recoup some sort of transfer fee. I think they'll have a development fee if he did go at the end of the season, but with the talk looking to be ongoing, it wouldn't surprise me if he does go. I personally think it is just a case of him not committing his future to Celtic and then looking to develop players that will. And again, he's obviously got something about him, because if you've got that many teams looking at you and wanting to speak to you, but who knows, I'm not overly angry at Celtic. Like, I think it's happened to us often enough in terms of, even like a few years ago when Ben Doak made his debut and then weeks later was signing for Liverpool. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in the next few weeks. Ponyers one on Instagram, I know you spoke about it a few weeks ago. It's Matt KCC. He says, how would you feel if we were taken over by someone like the City Group or the Saudis?
Probably quite a controversial one, but I would kind of welcome that. I mean, I'm just fucking fed up of the kind of status quo. I know people go, oh, we've won all these titles, we've won all these cups, and it's been great, and I've loved it. But I think that's as far as the likes of Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell and this board can take us, and are probably willing to take us. I know there's a lot of issues with human rights, but we do live in, well, we live in Britain, which has got quite a horrendous history with a lot of different issues worldwide and human rights and whatever. So for me, if the Saudis come in and want to take us to the next level, I'd probably take it. So I could probably have lied there and says I don't, but if you offered me the Saudis or Dermot Desmond, then sign me up for the Saudis. I think it would be interesting. I mean, I think they would improve us, and I think that's what we need. It's just stale in terms of, it's just the nepotism, and Desmond's putting his boy in place, Lawwell's got his boy in there. Don't get me wrong, I think Gavin Stanton's done a good job, but the fact that, is he really got that job based on he's the best available, or because his dad used to manage us, who knows? And then the head of our youth department, which is a bit of a shambles, is two ex-players. I mean, look, it doesn't need to be the Saudis. I would like a change of ownership whereby somebody comes in with a totally fresh vision and changes it up. So for me, I would be happy to go a different route. It doesn't need to just be the Saudis. I'm not a Saudi advocate. However, if the Saudis want to offer me money to come inside, then feel free to get in touch.
There you go, we'll leave our email address in the link in the description just in case any shakes are listening. Next up, we've got Von Turk on Twitter, a long-time listener, one of the first people that ever contacted us about the podcast, let us know what he thought. He's been there since the very beginning. He wants to know thoughts on our youth setup, so I'll take this one. He says, in recent years, we've lost many a good young player and consistently failed to give the likes of Pope, Dembele, and now Rocco Vata the game time and experience they need. Meanwhile, James Forrest is still starting games in the year 2023. It's a tough one because, as I say, I've not got a problem with Rocco Vata being let go or not really being given a run in the first team if he's not wanting to commit his future. I don't think he's anywhere near the level of guys like Eisen or Abada, probably not anywhere near Palma either. I know some would maybe argue that I'd rather seen him than guys like Yang at times, and I know Tilio's only had a few minutes as well, but I think you've got to remember the manager's seen these players, and you'd like to think he's in constant dialogue with the B team as well, that if he was that exceptional, I think he would have been in at some point this season. Ben Doak, I've heard this a few times about Ben Doak. I don't know how much I agree with it, because I think about he came on in that game that was pivotal in Ange's first season, where Leal Abada scored the last minute winner against Dundee United days before we beat Rangers 3-0 at Celtic Park, and he played in both games, so I think he was clearly in Ange's plans. And it's another one that when he committed his future to Liverpool, it just sort of fell away, and I don't think Celtic can be blamed for that. Like, Liverpool's a massive club as well. He obviously seen a better future for himself there, and I don't think anybody really has to be blamed for that one. But he was obviously somebody that was in Ange's plans. Dembele, looking back to the season that must never be spoken, and I don't know, he played a few games for us, and again, I just thought, look at his career trajectory. We went to France after that, and now he's ended up at Blackpool, and like, in a few years he might say, oh, that was a massive slip up from Celtic, but sometimes these players just don't develop. And you mentioned James Forrest there, still starting, but that probably shows that these players like Celtic would be desperate, I think, to have players that were busting through from the youth team, because if you look at that European sort of regulations, you need these homegrown players and academy players. And I was reading something from another Celtic podcast a few weeks ago, I think it was The Cynic, and I think there's going to be changes which might see that we need more academy players in our European squads rather than association players. So these players, like, if they were good enough, I think they would be in about the squad. And I think that when Brendan came out the other week and says that Mikey Johnston was the best player it'd ever produced, I think Paradise One full sales might have dropped a wee bit after that. But no, it's one of the ones that has been mentioned on here just previously. But yeah, everybody and every Celtic support, like, if the players were good enough, they'd love to see a team that was just full of the academy players, because you want to see how these players do. And you also see guys like Carl McGregor leading the team, boys like Kieran Tierney as well, who are massive fan favourites. But it is something that possibly needs to develop, but it's probably a long, long process that's going to take years and years to actually get results from. But Danny, I'll come at you for this one. It's Scott on Twitter asked, do you think Celtic will stop signing players from the Asian market every window now? He says there's only been 3 successes and the rest have been utter shite. He says signing a player from the second division in South Korea is mental. So he's obviously talking about Kwon there. So I'll give you 2 questions. He's asked about that market. Danny, do you think Celtic will use it this transfer window and window's going on? And somebody else asked, do you think if Stan Petrov put a kit on them or he would get in the team ahead of Kwon?
Whether Petrov would get in the Kwon or no is irrelevant, because Kwon can't get in the team. He can hardly get on the bench. So they will use the Asian market again. I think it's a market that used well. I mean, how many have been failures? You can't really see any of them, because none of them have really let Kobayashi and Ediguchi never kicked on. Both of them are probably at the door. Mae, brilliant. Hitati's been brilliant. Kyogo's been a revelation. So they're obviously going to use it. Oh, with the South Korean market, he's pretty decent. But I was thinking about Yang was the young player of the year in South Korea last year. At the start of the season and stuff, these are the players that we should be looking to sign. That's the style of player we should be looking to sign. If you were to say to me, like, oh, you're going to sign young player of the year for this country, you'd be like, well, he's got to be decent. Now, Yang's the dude. Obviously still out in Yang. For every game he looks bright, there's 2 or 3 where he looks like a bit of a bust. But he's a right profile of player that we should be signing. If you know, we're signing the best players, or supposedly the best performing players in these leagues, necessarily a bad thing. I mean, men are going to, you need to miss a few to get a few hits, but it's obviously a market they're going to keep using. I think they've been linked with 2 or 3 players for Korea already this window, so they're going to keep using it. I don't think it's a market that's utilised. I think another market that's underutilised for us is Africa. I think we should be sending scouts out there to try and find. I know there's work permit issues, and I know Brexit made that any easier, but there's a lot of these guys that hold French, French dual nationality. So we should be out in Africa looking for players. But aye, it's a market that Asia is definitely a market they're going to keep using, and I don't think it's let us down. So
the benefits definitely.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
They outweighed the weaknesses, and I think it's harsh saying there's only been 3 real successes. If in terms of overall failures, are probably right. I don't think nobody's severely let us down, and there's still players there that are looking to establish themselves and could have futures at Celtic. It remains to be seen. Tony Selick Da on Twitter just asked, do you miss the days when Ange would have all of January business done in December? So you obviously think about the Hogmanay when we announced the Japanese trio, and even last year we had guys like Alistair Johnson announced well before the window even opened.
Yes, well, I remember the first season when I think Hitachi made Iniguchi, who's left today, was kind of, were they announced like early December that they were going to be coming in? And it was just
31st of December, Tony.
Is that when we announced them, aye? But the rumours had been going on, I think, November, that it was pretty kind of set in stone. I could be wrong, but I think we announced the three of them in one day. And the fact that two of them have had made such a monumental impact and became such massive assets has been great. But yeah, so yes, I miss getting the job done quickly. Even last season, Alistair Johnson, he was a Juranovic replacement while Juranovic was still there. And then always a replacement for Giacomakis. And I think people are a bit conflicted, no, but it was good to have the kind of replacement ready to go. And I think that was mostly Angie's doing. I think he was kind of controller, kind of most of that side of things at the football club. So I wish the transfer dealings were like that now. I don't think it's Brendan's fault that the transfer dealings are that slow. But I know he's built up the recruitment team. I don't think Brendan Rodgers is a silly man. I think he's probably worked it, but it's not as efficient as he probably thought it was or he wants it to be. But I much prefer the transfer windows under Ange. I thought were pretty decent, to be fair. And I think the big man's doing well at Spurs anyway, and he's still sticking the boot into the press. So best of luck to him.
He's doing well. He's shot him in different markets now. I seen he announced Timo Werner about half an hour ago. So wee bit out of his budget that he was on at Celtic. But Danny, I'll come at you next. Bank Street Bar asked, who's been the best striker at Celtic since Larsen? He says, is it Dembele or Kyogo? So do you think it's one of the two, or do you think it's maybe somebody else that's not been mentioned?
No, it's definitely Kyogo in it. I mean, for 2.5 seasons, he's popped up big moment after big moment after big moment. So it would be Kyogo for me. Dembele played seasons for us in the Champions League and showed up well, scored goals, but I always got the sense for Dembele that it was his best work was going to come, same as Edward. Ironically, both of them look like their best might actually have been. But Kyogo looks like he's going to be here, like Larsen in his prime, and it's for a lot, so I would give it to Kyogo. A notable shout for Harry Hooper as well, because for 3 years he was brilliant for us.
Aye, it's one you could do a full episode on. I think there's a lot of good shouts that you could throw in there for different reasons, but I think Kyogo, especially 2023, people would say he hadn't scored against Rangers. He obviously scored 7 in the calendar year and got a few goals in the Champions League as well. So I think it's probably pretty indisputable as Kyogo now. And I think a big part of it, as you say, is the fact that he looked to begin his 8 years to Celtic, and long may that continue. Tony, I'll come to you for the next one. Paul Craney on Facebook asked, do you think that former guest of the show, Danny Craney, will buy around in 2024 or ever?
Well, obviously Danny Craney played for Celtic, and he also played with Ange, funnily enough, in Australia, and he helped us win the league in, I think, the 81 or 82 season. I think Danny's bought me a couple of drinks before in lunches, so my answer to that, to Paul, his brother, would be I think Danny has bought me around before, so he's getting let off the hook for me.
Well, there you go. That was actually a great episode. If you're struggling for Celtic content during this, have a wee scroll through our special guest episodes. We obviously have quite a few ex-players on. A lot of them were done early in the podcast, so if you are relatively new to Four Times a Podcast, go and check on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to our special guest episodes, because a lot of good talk in them, and the Danny Craney one was a really good one. I'll come back to this one. It's Eddie Byrne. He says, did Rodgers paper over the cracks with the win over the Huns? It's a tough one, because obviously 2 weeks before it, the whole support seemed to be in a bit of meltdown. I don't think it's papering over the cracks. I think they're getting the four wins out of four after the two defeats was obviously massive. I think it's not necessarily papering over the cracks, but I would say it's got us back on track. Like, you obviously, like, people were questioning Rodgers, questioning the board, questioning the players. Like, so I think the fact that they've responded in that manner, like, it wasn't just a one-off. They obviously, first 45 against Livy, won't live long in the memory, but after that they've seemed to kick on, and it's been good performances, I would say, and right up until that St Mirren game where they came flying out of traps from a 2-0 up within 10 minutes, it's really, like, I think it's been a strong response, and rather than paper over the cracks, I would say there's still work needs done, but I think we're on the right track, and God forbid it doesn't happen, but if we were only to make a signing this month, then don't think that we would fall pieces, and I don't think that we'd be a contention for the league yet, and I think that the manager's, I think he's a great manager, and he has to earn it. Earn the support back of some, like, obviously a tough job because a lot of people didn't want him back to begin with. So the fact we have had a bit of adversity over the last few months hasn't helped his case, but it's up to him. I think he is a top class manager, and he will get more out of the team, and getting guys like Bada and Hatate back is going to help that massively as well as we do head into the second half of the season. So when they say it papers over the cracks, but I think it was a very much needed response. Danny, I'll bring you back in. Don't know if you'll have an answer. I should have prepared this one. But Paul Gray asked, what's your favourite worst Celtic merchandise that the club's Twitter try and force us all to buy? I'm not going to have a go at the club's Twitter, but have you ever bought in from the Celtic shop or been gifted something that you says, this is just terrible merch? I'll give you time to think we're talking about mine. I remember when I was 16, 17, I was up at Celtic Park. It was during the Stratton seasons and bought a new white top. And it was, I think it was the third kit, it was a white one with the yellow and green sort of line down the left hand side of it. And I wanted to get a name on the back because I always did it at that age. I know, terrible, but I went to the Celtic Superstore to get a name printed on it, and they told me they had no A's or E's, which wiped out about 99% of the squad. So I left that day with a brand new third kit with Snow 15 on the back of it. So that's probably my worst bit of Celtic merchandise that I own. I don't know about you, if you get anything that can rival that.
As soon as you started talking about A's and E's, I knew you were going to say you got a Vandusto. Though there's been a few shockers through the years. I get Lee Naylor on the back of his trip after one good season, and he fell off a cliff. So you, over the years, like, I know it's kind of different in a way for the question, but I've had Nguemo, Naylor, Pearce. I think they were the top three, but Celtic merchandise. I once bought, do you ever remember the stupid, you put them in the bath, it was like Game Boy once, it was like kind of rubber thing that you played off, and you could get ones that were in the shape of like a Game Boy Advance. Well, I get one that was like that, but it was a Celtic cover, and it probably cost somebody like fucking 40 quid to buy it, and I think I used it once to wash my hair when I was a wee boy, and then binned it. So that was about it.
Something I only used a few. I think because I heard Naylor and Pearce in there, he must have just had a hang for left-footed players, but I think must know. We'll take some beating. Tony, I'll bring this one to you. You used to be in your wrestling. Henrik's Headband asked, if there was a Celtic podcaster's Royal Rumble, who would win it?
Good question. We'd have to be a Celtic State of Mind. There's fucking loads of them. I'd go a Celtic State of Mind just because strength.
Who's putting me out? Who's lifting me?
Good question. Who's lifting me out as well? To be fair, we would maybe be in me a shout, but I'm going for a Celtic State of Mind just due to strength and numbers. And funnily enough, just to get back to the merchandise question, it says about the Celtic gin. I seen a comment the other day, I've got a bottle out in the cupboard.
Yeah, that's right, actually. I forgot to mention that the person that asked the question did say his was the flavoured gin, so you never know, in 50 years it might be worth a fortune, but aye. Probably right, you better sell it State of Mind now I think about it as well. I'm used to the Royal Rumbles with 30 man, but they've got an absolute army of contributors and all very good as well. Even a few ones that have been went down a different path, like Al Boise, he'd probably win me a shout, and yeah, I don't know. You might know who won the Royal Rumble. We focus on the World Cup of Celtic podcast. That's still in our trophy cabinet, so good luck to everybody else. We'll defend our title at WrestleMania one day. Danny, good friend of the podcast, Connor, asked, do you remember getting Celtic crisps and cola bottles from the club shop?
Aye, and I seen that tweet for Connor, and you could get them for the game at the kiosk. You could get it was like Celtic crisps. It was crisps were like green and white packet, but they were rotten. But I got a selection box one year, and it was all Celtic box, and it was about eight different shapes of chocolate bar, and it was that shitey chocolate. But the Celtic badge, and I think one of them was even like, had the badge engraved, didn't it? So I remember them, a lot of shite.
I'm sure if they could make me a finisher, they'd be back in the kiosk, but I'm spending quite enough at the kiosk during the game. The prices are just a bit mental at the moment. But I think they still sell the cola bowls and some other sweeties in the shops, but don't know, I think the crisps are long, long forgotten. Who else have we got? I know ranting on about, I'm trying to get through as many as I can. I'll take this one. David S asks, what is your top Celtic five-a-side team? So a tough one. I seen this earlier and I was having a think about it. I think it's tough to be Warwick in goal for me, because not only is a top class shot stopper, but he's just a bit mental and he'll probably go on a run now and again and come out of goals. And like you've seen his penalty against Dundee United in the League Cup semi-final, so he'd fancy it. Who'll I bring in? I think an obvious one to go for is Bobo Baldé for the defence, but on that sort of pitch, don't know how well he's going to do, but I'll go with Bobo. Stan Petrov, my all-time favourite Celtic player. He was, I know somebody asked who got you into Celtic, what was your favourite first player? I mean, just Petrov, so he's definitely in there. Eddie McGeady, probably in there as well. And finisher's got to be Larson as well, so it's a tough one. I think that'd be pretty tough to beat, but I know Danny's just wanting to pipe in there. Who would you, your ultimate Celtic five-a-side team be, Danny?
I thought that was a great question, so kind of interested to hear who Tony would go for as well. But mine's would be quite tricky, but mine's would be Boric. Then I would have Brimpong, because he was quick. Then I would have Nakamura, Callum McGregor, and Larson front.
Tony, you got a five-a-side team ready to take on these two?
I'd need to go for Big Arthur. Loved him, just brilliant. Probably have Danny McGrain in there. John Clark, Davy Hay, and up front, Brian McLaren.
Don't you respect that? Absolutely the ulterior motive set as well. It's just top class players. But aye, that would be quite a five tournament. I know we've used a few of the same players, but I'm sure we could simulate it somehow and see who's would win. That's another one you could probably spend an hour talking about and let us know who you would pick for your five-a-side team. I know we are sort of ranting on there. I'm just trying to make sure I've not missed any these questions. Cam Sankara, who has asked, do you think we should consider investing a bit of the main coffers into the women's team to build on the momentum of last season? The women's game is growing and growing, so it could be something that pays back if we establish ourselves properly ahead of the other two. So in you come, Joey Barton.
Now I need to really watch I don't get cancelled. Yes, I would invest loads of money into the women's team, and hopefully we'll get the money back on it.
That's fair. That is one. But then I seen, you might have a point, because some people are saying that Fran Alonso left because he wasn't getting backed. So who knows? It is an avenue that they probably will look down. They obviously had a few games at Celtic Park last season as well. It is one that they would become lucrative. He's right. It is absolutely a growing market. I think even the Women's Premier League down south is paying more than Scottish Premiership in terms of TV money and prize money. So that probably says more about our league than the women's game, but aye, good luck to them and hope it does go well. Danny, we've got Piero, the boy. This one's for you. He's asking, is the fisherman's jumper still doing the rounds? What's its fate?
It's fate known, actually, at the minute, because I can't find it. I was looking for it, funny enough, at this time of year. I was looking at the back end of last year for a Christmas night out and I couldn't find it. So it could actually be at the bottom of the ocean for all I know.
Another big fan of the show, big supporter of Dubai CSE. I'll take this one, because that's another one we might get sued for if we answer it. Ryan, yes. It says, lads, can you give us a bit of an insight into how the club treat you pre and post resharing of tweet? Well, I might be able to put this in the episode description and everybody will listen, and it'll take them 45 minutes to get to it. So I'll cover it, because I know it has been sort of people were speaking about it on Twitter. I've seen a thread in the Huddle World about it. It's been mentioned a few times on here. We didn't have a relationship as such with the club. We were one of the list of fan media outlets, if I want a better word, that got access to some press conferences and some fan media events. I don't think, having to say that our views changed because of it. We never really censored ourselves. Our access was revoked because of unacceptable social media or whatever. And as Dubai Hoops says, it was to do with a tweet that got retweeted on our account. Now we're a multi-user account. We've obviously got us four, and then we've had a few bodies involved with YouTube and stuff, so a lot of people have access to it. We've maybe need to tighten down on that in the future, because it is near a page that's not just reflective of the podcast as a whole. It doesn't speak for all four areas. I wouldn't say relationships changed. Like we're not gutted that we're not there, but I wouldn't say it's changed, just to answer that. But Tony, if you want to come in, because I think you're probably mostly to blame for it getting made public knowledge through a few tweets.
No, I think I don't know if it was the reason. The reason we were told we were banned is because they retweeted something. I can't even mind the exact tweet. I think it was after Rangers drew with Aberdeen. It was more a case of, right, let's kick on and sack Peter Lawwell and his bastard son. I get this, obviously. It's not a very nice thing to retweet and whatever else. And look, it doesn't bother me if we get banned. I think when you look at it, I think the idea in itself was Dominic Mackay's idea. They get rid of him quickly. The second they sacked him, they were on the phone to so-called fan media to throw him under the bus. When it came out about ticket allocations, they phone you up to get their side of the story when they've already gave the side of the story to the Sun or somebody like that. So I think it was a tick box exercise inviting us to these kind of press conferences. And as I've said before, you kind of treat them a bit like children. They don't introduce yourself in one question, don't say your name, you're like, and it's, they're always late and the timings are always wrong, it's always last minute. It's kind of, they're kind of asking you to fuck off without actually saying it. So I don't event against that. I mean, the media team probably have a lot bigger issues to deal with opposed to dealing with that podcast. So I think the thing that bothered me was, why is somebody monitoring a stupid podcast social media? Why is Celtic paying somebody to look at our social media accounts? I mean, we're just four normal fans. So Dubai Hoops, actually, I think they had Brian McClure over with Shea Doolan. I think they're getting Shea over again. So best of luck to them in January. So I hope that all goes well. But just to get back to the fan media thing, as I was saying, it as a tick box exercise. When they first kind of introduced it, the promise was you would get to speak to the manager twice a year, kind of only for fan media. I think the CEO, you were meant to speak to him, but as I say, Dominic Mackay was binned and then thrown under the bus as soon as humanly possible. Shout out Dominic Mackay if ever wants to come to the podcast, he's more than welcome. So as I say, it's all very last minute. It's all very, to be fair to them, somebody asked me before, did they kind of tell you what not to say or what not to ask? And they don't. You do have the freedom to ask whatever questions you want. And don't get me wrong, I enjoyed speaking to Postecoglou. I got a bit of a buzz out of that, and I met him a few times. And as I said before, I got him to sign a shirt to me, and even at the time, Dan set me up and asked him about postponing a game that we couldn't actually postpone. So things like that I enjoyed. And I met him just after we beat the Huns 4-0. And he was buzzing and I was half sozzled. So it was good. But as I said before, should somebody like me really be on a press conference? Probably no. I'm not really, I'm not a journalist. I'm not media trained. I do think that fan media do ask some really good questions at times, as opposed to the normal people who goes to these things and just go, do you think this is going to be a tough game? I mean, I'd love a manager to turn around and go, no, they're shite, but that's not going to happen. You know, it's kind of the media in this country are pretty poor standards. So I think it's good that there's still some fan media that will be able to attend. And if things do go kind of Pete Tong, they can ask difficult questions. But we actually get invited yesterday to a women's press conference. We get invited previously before after the ban, and then we had it confirmed that was a communication error. So I don't know if this is another communication error from the Celtic communication team. So look, for me, no issues with it whatsoever. Aye, and best of luck to the Dubai Hoop.
Aye, thanks for the question. Aye, and as Tony said, we are still getting emails, so if anybody from Celtic is listening, then that's a heads up, we're still on your mailing list. Who knows, maybe you and your January signing will be the four times back, but I don't know. And it's probably for the best that we'll know in, because with this Asian Cup, we've got quite a few players away, so I might have sent Tony a wee link saying that we could ask for the games after the winter break to get postponed until they get back, but I don't know if you'd get the same laugh out of Brendan. I think that's pretty much all the questions, unless I've missed any. As I say, we always try and get to your comments and questions, but I know sometimes we don't always manage to fit it into the episode, but that's why we've done this one, just to sort of answer what yous are wanting to know. I hope we've covered everything. If we've missed any, leave us questions. As I say, we've got more times we will do this in the future, and I think we'll be doing another special during this winter break, possibly just doing a wee half-season review and evaluating what's happened in the transfer window. And obviously that's not the new, because we've done absolutely nothing. But I appreciate everybody that sent in their questions. We do, like, we try and get to as many as we can. If I have missed yours, then I do apologise. But from myself, Tony and Danny, Aye, thanks for your questions. We will be back at some point next week, as I say, with that wee half-season review. Aye, if you want to get involved in the future, as I said at the start of the episode, just search for Full Times in a Podcast. You'll find our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. But unless Danny or Tony have got anything to add, I'll wrap up here. But once again, thanks everybody for getting involved, and we will speak to you in the near future. Hail, hail.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.